Yeah, I mean, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm not sure if everyone else is, but it's really low and kind of cutting in and out.
All right, I'll try to talk louder and enunciate, and hopefully that'll be clear. I'll announce the start of the meeting, and then Kelly, let me know if there's an issue after I've spoken for a moment. I'll call to order the June 8th meeting of the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency. This is the regularly scheduled meeting in person and online via Zoom. Item 1.2 is the roll call for Linda Herman. Did that work well enough, Kelly?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Great. So Linda Herman.
Thank you. Board Member Cooper?
Here.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Here.
Vice Chair Royer?
Here.
Chair Tosinski?
Here.
And Board Member Reynolds is absent.
Okay. Item 1.3, adoption of a resolution renewing authorization to conduct teleconference meetings for both the Vina GSA Board and Stakeholder Advisory Committee meetings. I think we just need to have a motion and a second on that one. Todd, give me a break.
I reluctantly move this forward.
Second.
Great. So we have a motion from Board Member Kimmelshue reluctantly, and a second apparently wholeheartedly from Vice Chair Royer. If we could have a roll call vote.
Certainly. Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Tosinski?
Aye. We will move on to item 2, closed session public comments or board disqualifications. Do we have any public comments? I'm seeing none online or in the chamber. So we will adjourn to conference room 2, and then I will let the tech crew figure out how to do that with the Zoom.
Recording in progress.
Okay, and we will reconvene the open session. The closed session announcement is we conferred with our council. There was no direction given and no action taken. With that, we will move to item 3, consent agenda. There are two items on the consent agenda: approval of the minutes of the May 11th, 22 Vina GSA regular board meeting, and approval of the Vina GSA monthly status report. Are there any, I was getting called and I just want to make sure it wasn't somebody from the board here. Either of these items want to be removed by any board members? Nope. Are there any public comments on the consent agenda? I am seeing none, so I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda.
Kind of motion to approve.
Second.
Great. So a motion to approve from Board Member Kimmelshue and a second from Vice Chair Royer. Linda, if we could have a roll call vote.
Certainly. Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
Chair Tosinski?
Aye.
Passes 4-0-1.
Perfect. There were no items removed, so we'll go to business from the floor. Members of the public may address the board at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The board cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda. Does anybody wish to make a comment on business from the floor?
We do have one speaker card, and that's okay. Richard Kuhn.
Great, Richard, please.
Hi there. My name is Richard Kuhn. I'm the chairman of the Chico Certified Farmers Market, and we represent a diverse group of small farms and farmers in Butte County, as you guys know. I had the pleasure to get to talk to the authors of this study that is in front of you right now, Sigma and the Underrepresented Farmers, and I think our farmers market farmers fall into that category. They have not yet been part of this the GSA process, and especially with the Vina GSA. And so, having said that, I started thinking that what would be a win-win for all of us would be, and I checked with our board and we talked about it at length today, and we, the Chico Certified Farmers Market, would like to invite the Vina GSA to have free booth space at our Chico markets for the purpose of outreach. If you guys, I know the authors of this study said that part of the SGMA law encourages outreach, and I know you've done a lot of outreach, but not to underrepresented farmers. So we would like to formally offer you space in our markets if you would be willing, and I know I'm gonna get a glare from the people that would have to man the booth or, you know, set up the booth, but I think it would be a really great thing for you guys to actually set up as the Vina GSA in our markets, occasionally on Saturday and occasionally on Wednesday, and do outreach. Furthermore, we have a list of all these underrepresented farmers, and we would be happy to, we would be really like to encourage a seminar that you guys could put on, we could help with it, with a Hmong translator. So that's what I'm here to offer you guys and encourage you guys and plead with you guys to do some outreach, because when our farmers don't know anything about this and they're going to be affected by it. So thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for this report. I'll read it over, and I think that sounds like a good idea.
It's an interesting report, but don't feel bad, because none of the 14 GSAs that they surveyed had done anything, because the farmers market farmers fall through the cracks typically. And so
agreed.
There you have it.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Yep.
Thank you so much. All right, I see no one online, and so we will move to our regular agenda. Item 7.1, update on the 5/25/22 workshop to identify options to fund the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency and the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Plan. Cami Loser.
Great, so thank you, Chair Tuchinski, members of the board. As you know, and hopefully all of you were able to attend, there was a workshop on May 25th for the SHAC, and then the board, actually it was a joint meeting, for discussing financing options, and Provost and Pritchard provided an overview of various financing options. It was, their presentation is available on the Vina GSA website in the library, as well as on the workshop page. And just to give a brief overview of the topics discussed in the workshop was they provided an approach to funding. They talked about state intervention, member agency contributions, as well as Prop 218. They focused primarily on Prop 218, although there are other options like Prop 26. They did discuss what Prop 218 is. They discussed a fee versus an assessment. They gave some examples of how various districts have approached funding for the long term. And then at the end, they did talk about the process and next steps for financing options, which I'll just briefly go over that, which was to identify a work group. And perhaps since this board identified the SHAC as kind of that committee to discuss financing options, they would probably serve as the work group, develop a five-year budget for the GSA, determine how to share costs, especially if there's no Prop 218 or with a Prop 218. They talked about if there is a landowner charge to determine the fee or assessment associated with that, determine an equitable structure for cost sharing, prepare an engineer's report, and then a public notice and vote as part of the Prop 218 process. And they did talk a little bit about schedule, that it's about if we were to start today, it might be a 6 months till a vote occurred, and then 12 months to have money in hand after. But actually there are some caveats to that, assuming that we were use the assessor tax roll to collect funds, it probably wouldn't be available to us until about January of 2024. And that was, so they just provided that overview. It will come back to the SHAC to discuss at their next meeting, which the date is escaping me at the moment. I'll let Kelly chime in at any time. And so that's pretty much what the workshop was about.
Any questions? Sorry, I didn't have my mic on. Can I see that?
No, but I do have a comment. I want to compliment Cammie and her staff for putting that together. I thought that was very good. The firm that made the report works with several GSAs, is my understanding. And I was glad to hear that they are willing to work with us if we decide to hire them, right? And I'm sure that they would be happy to, you know, postpone their fees until the end when we start collecting our money. Is that correct?
You mean a year and a half from now?
Yeah, a year and a half from now. I'd love to have them do the work for us and then, you know, bill us, and we'll wait a year and a half to pay them when we get our money. How's that?
I'll let you talk to their
okay, we'll work on that. No, it was very good, Cammie. Thank you very much.
Great. Are there any public comments on this?
We do have Kelly Peterson who has her hand up, I believe.
Oh, great. Sorry, I didn't see that on my
screen. Thank you. I didn't want to interrupt. I just wanted to chime in that the SAC is meeting on June 22nd, and at that point, we were hoping that they will make a recommendation to the board on the way to proceed, and you guys can make that decision in July.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Linda, because I'm not seeing it on my little screen here, so I appreciate that. How does this have any, you're talking about a delay in funding. Is that pretty much the upside, the most optimistic outlook for getting any funding from these plans? Now that we've kind of, done a kind of a cumulative assessment?
So if we do a Prop 218, there's various ways that we can collect the money where the funds assessed or the fees charged. And one is that the GSA can actually do it itself, which means we would have to mail out things to all the landowners or whomever and however we're charging. Or we can also use the assessor's tax roll. To have something on the assessor's tax roll, there is a deadline of August 10th to get it on that next year's tax roll. So even if we did the process now, we obviously would miss this year's August 10th deadline, so we would not be able to put something on the tax roll until next year in August. And then they would, we all know we pay our taxes, property taxes, and those assessments on in December and April. So they wouldn't collect any of the funds until December, and then it's paid out to the GSAs or special districts, whoever receives funds from the tax roll. So, and there would be two payments associated with that, one in January and one after in June.
Right, and also with the idea of an election having to be timed as well, correct? To get the approval for the 218, or am I juxtaposing two things?
It says an election, but really it's just kind of a public, for 218, it's a hearing and it's a protest hearing. So, and then you have people, so we would have a public hearing for that, and then people could come protest, and then it would be, I think 51% of the landowners being assessed would have to show up and say no, and then it would fail. So it's not necessarily like an election, ballot election.
Perfect. Yeah, I juxtaposed two things, so thank you. Sorry, long day.
Well, that's okay, because we could do a ballot measure and charge something that way, but that obviously is expensive and, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what, okay. Yeah, I realized that was what would have been kind of ruled out, so great. Is there anything else to bring up on this, or?
That's all that I have. I see that Kelly's hand is up again, or was that old Kelly?
Yeah, if I just might interrupt real quick. Cammie, it's hard to hear you online. I think if you went a little bit louder, it just kind of breaks in and out. Like it's sometimes picking up the noise, but sometimes not.
Okay, thank you.
Sure thing.
Okay, then. Oh, I'm sorry, now I can see Jeff's hand is very high, or it looks like he's clapping. So Jeff, is that a clapping or do you have something to say?
Well, I can't figure out how to undo the clapping, so then I raise my hand.
Great. Well, please talk.
Thank you. Has any consideration for the revenue of Table A water been brought into the mix here? Because I know that the historical purpose of Table A was to be supplying water within the county for our needs, and we never built the infrastructure to actually get that water uphill to Chico. But there is a significant amount of revenue coming into the county based off the sales of Table A water. And from the very beginning, all the way back to the local expert group conversation several years ago, you know, the idea of Table A water being the solution to offset our deficit has always been in the mix. And if it's not actually going to be applied to the problem, then perhaps the revenue off of selling it downstream might be something that comes into the mix here as an alternative to having to go out and tell the public that we are recommending yet another tax. So I guess it's a question to staff of where that fits into the mix and has that been on the radar with SHAC conversations?
It has not been. I don't think it, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, but SHAC has not discussed Table A revenue as part of the funding option. Right now, Table A revenue goes into the county's general fund. And if that were to be a discussion item, then we staff for Butte County would need to bring that before the Board of Supervisors. So all decisions about Table A monies does go before the Board of Supervisors.
Got it, thank you.
And if we get to that point after the SHAC meeting, I'd be happy to agendize that for a Board of Supervisors meeting to discuss, Cammie, if you think that's appropriate.
We can see what the results of the SHAC discussion are and maybe bring some, if that is one of the items, then we can talk about bringing it before the Board of Supervisors.
And maybe Kelly can, I'm not sure what the revenue is from Table A money, but maybe Kelly or yourself could inquire into that and find out exactly how much it is from year to year.
Yes, the amount varies slightly, but yes, I can double check the total cost.
Thanks, Cammie.
Thank you. And then look forward to the more extensive conversation next month after we hear back from the SHAC and the manager's meeting. So thank you. 7.2, a report on the draft work plan for GSA activities and management for 2022-23. Cammie Loser.
So staff has been working on a draft work plan. As you may know, the Department of Water and Resource Conservation took to the Board of Supervisors a request for some funds to cover the cost of litigation, share that we had identified, the $8,000 for the county, there's $8,000 for the city of Chico, and the $4,000 for Durham Irrigation District, and that was denied. So one of the requests of the Board of Supervisors was a better understanding of how the Department of Water Resources has been providing in-kind services to the GSAs, all of the GSAs. And so one of the things that staff has done is the Department of Water and Resource Conservation has provided kind of a summary of some of those activities, as well as what we think our in-kind contribution for administrative services would be for the next year. Just so that the Board of Supervisors knows how we're spending our time with regard to our in-kind services. And it has been significant for our department, and so they just want to have a better understanding of what that entails. So at the next Board of Supervisors meeting on the 14th, the Department of Water and Resource Conservation will be, we have updated our strategic plan and they'll be reviewing that. But as part of that, we have asked for, our department has asked for an additional budget augmentation for next fiscal year to be able to continue to provide administrative support services to the GSA. So there is a budget request to the Board of Supervisors for the Department of Water Resources to provide the in-kind services. As part of that, we did identify or create a kind of a work plan as to what our activities would include. And so that work plan would fold over into the GSA, the activities that the GSA would need to accomplish over the next year. And so that's kind of where we're at with that process. So there's kind of two things happening, and one is the work plan for the GSA,
but also what activities the department would be providing in the future for in-kind services for the GSA.
Any questions from the board? I have a question. So the legal fee request was turned down. Is there any chance of a reconsideration of that with the presentation that you are making?
Not for the litigation fees. There would, so we're hoping that the City of Chico and Durham Irrigation District will still be able to provide their contribution to that. But right now, the litigation fees are not back on that table. We would have to bring it back to the board at the request of this board. So I would say let's kind of wait and see how things play out, in the sense that we have allocated, we, the Department of Water and Resource Conservation, has allocated its member agency contribution for next year in our existing budget, and that could contribute to just some of the overall costs of the GSA. But hopefully the City of Chico and Durham will be able to kick in their portions, and we'll get some of it covered at this time.
And then perhaps we could, so if I understand correctly, then perhaps our board could make a request again, using or referencing the fact that Chico and Durham Irrigation District had made contributions to that. Great. I just wanted to make sure that I understood correctly. Yeah. Thank you.
As a board member, I would welcome that opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public? I'm making sure I look over at you, Mr. Kuhn, before I look at the screen. Am I missing any hands on the screen, Linda? Nope.
I do not see any, no.
Okay. Then this was an informational item only, so we will move on to item 7.3, application to DWR for facilitation support services to assist in identifying and developing the groundwater sustainability plan implementation projects to be included in the SGMA grant program application. Well, you like long titles. A report from Cami Loser.
We wanted to be sure that you understood what we were asking for. So the management committee is requesting approval to proceed with the preparation and submittal of a facilitation support services application to DWR. And this would provide this, DWR would provide this service to the GSA. So it's funded through DWR and not through the GSA. And the purpose is, of the request is to use the facilitation services to assist in identifying and developing the potential GSP implementation projects to be included in the SGMA grant application to be submitted sometime in the fall of this year. As you know, CBI was the facilitator for the SHAC over during the course of the GSP preparation, and it would be a different company as part of the process. They're not providing that same support service. What we anticipate with the changes of the SHAC, and at their next meeting, they'll be nominating a chair and a vice chair, and they'll be managing themselves differently. We're looking at the facilitation support services more to assist staff with the process of identifying the projects and management actions to be included in the grant application. We anticipate that it's a fairly extensive process that we have to fit into a very short period of time. So using facilitation support services to help us with the organization of that process, working with the SHAC and other stakeholders and entities within the county that may want to have projects that are included in that SGMA grant application. So that's essentially what we would be requesting, as a deliverable from them to just get that assistance. So it doesn't, as you know, it's a lot of organization on staff's part to kind of herd all the cats. And so we're looking for assistance with that.
Any questions from the board? I just have one question. Is it a matter of prioritizing the projects that are already in the GSP, or did I hear that you're talking about broadening to stakeholders to potentially suggest new projects simply for this grant? Am I, or to include for the purposes of this grant? I just want to make sure I understand 100%.
It would be the projects that are identified in the GSP, but there is a lot of refinement that needs to occur between now where we're at with how they're listed in the GSP and getting them ready to be application ready. As we flesh out those projects, there might be kind of little sub projects or, you know, refining them to feasibility studies versus a full-fledged project. Other stakeholders may want to come into the mix to help lead some of those projects that are in there. And just, it's really kind of organizing those groups or people that would be doing that.
Perfect. Thank you. Just wanted to clarify the role of the,
great,
the others in there. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the public? And I gave my look out to Mr. Kuhn, and I'm looking online. Nope. Okay. This one does have an action item to approve the request and authorize the management committee to submit the application on behalf of the GSA. So I'll entertain a motion if someone is willing to.
I'll move to approve.
Great. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion from a familiar refrain, a message, a motion from Board Member Kimmelshue and a second from Vice Chair Royer. If we could have a roll call vote.
Certainly. Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Tuschinski?
Aye. So it passes unanimously. Item 8, communications and report. 8.1, a Rock Creek Reclamation District groundwater sustainability update. Cami?
All right, just to provide an update on the activities that are occurring in the Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA, their board approved a GSP consistency verification acknowledgement form at their May 6th meeting. The form is necessary to fulfill the requirements of the governor's executive order, and we'll be providing an update on that next. And then they also have the Sand Creek project, and they have selected Wood Rogers for the Sand Creek project feasibility study. As of June 3rd, they have drafted a contract and are finalizing negotiations for that contract, and work is scheduled to be completed on that project in September 2022. It's more of a recharge project that they're looking at. And Wood Rogers was selected. It's my understanding they're doing a lot of doing the work for the NORD project, flood study project out in NORD in the district's boundaries. They also have a Prop 218 fee update. Their board has selected a committee to look into methods to fund the cost of property-related services provided by the district, including the cost of GSA services and administration, that's their GSA, as well as other property-related services. And this process is currently underway, and a proposed plan will be submitted to their board in the near future.
Great, thank you. And then 8.2, an update on Executive Order N-7-22 and Butte County Environmental Health Well Permitting Process.
All right. As you know, the governor on March 28th issued the executive order N-7-22, which there was an action item in that order, action item 9, that required the county well permitting entity, which is the Division of Environmental Health, to obtain written verification from the GSA as to whether the well would be inconsistent, the installation of the well would be inconsistent with the GSP, or if it would interfere with the GSA's ability to sustainably manage the groundwater resources. And then the second half of that action item was for the environmental health to identify if the installation of the well would interfere with other adjacent wells, as well as cause permanent subsidence. So environmental health has been working with the Department of Water and Resource Conservation and the GSAs indirectly through that process with our assistance in obtaining written verification forms from this GSA as well as the other GSAs for their well permitting process. And they have also updated the well permitting process to include the GSA verification form or acknowledgement form, which we approved here into that process. Then they started processing permits yesterday, so they had the hold on the well permitting application process until all of those were in place. So they did start permitting large diameter wells or processing the applications for large diameter wells moving forward. As part of that review process, the Department of Water and Resource Conservation will be reviewing the applications to confirm that they're, which GSA they've identified themselves to be in. And we will also be reviewing the location of the proposed well in, as it is in proximity to our monitoring network and the RMS wells to make sure that the location of the installation of that well will not kind of impede the monitoring network's ability to adequately monitor groundwater. So that's it. We're good to go. Wells permits are active. I think we're currently processing 17 permits that have come in or were put on hold as a result of the executive order. So some of those had been received prior to the executive order and are now in process.
17 in the Vina GSA or county?
I think just in the county.
Okay.
Throughout the three sub-basins. And Kelly can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that was the number.
And do you have an idea about, are they fairly evenly distributed among the sub-basins or do you know which might be ours?
I'm looking to Kelly because I know she went through and reviewed a list. So I'm hoping she has that off the top of her head.
Great, she's unmuted.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing, but are you asking about the monitoring wells?
Yeah, no, the well permits that are being processed, are they kind of equally distributed between the three GSAs?
I would say no. There's probably half and half between Vina and Butte. And then I think there's only one or two in Wyandotte Creek.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part of the reason that we'd asked for the report was so that we could kind of keep a gauge about how many we were getting. There was the conversation that if we got 100 permits, we might want to consider review the policy that we adopted. So now we know that there's so far about eight. Hear the number correctly.
Yes, and we anticipate bringing to this board is just updates on the number of permit applications that have been submitted, and then how many wells have been drilled within the basin. The county typically does quarterly, environmental health does quarterly well permitting reports. Since the Department of Water and Resource Conservation has involved in the review process now, we could probably give you more current monthly updates, but typically at least quarterly.
Great, thank you. I jumped the gun just because that was an obvious question for what we had. Did you have a question? Any questions from other board members? Any questions or comments from members of the public on either of the reports?
Bruce Smith has his hand up.
Okay, great. So we'll do Bruce Smith and then we'll do Mr. Kuhn. So Bruce, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, on those wells, do you have any idea, one, location that needs to be brought probably to the board and to the shack? And also, do you have any idea where they're screened and how they define those screens? That's pretty important to know what impact they're going to have on their neighbors. Thanks.
Kelly, did you have a response to that? I do believe
sure, I can address that if the chair would like me to.
Chair Tuchinski, do you want her to respond to that?
Oh, yeah, please. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. He's a
no problem. Yeah, so generally when the wells are drilled, as they are pulling up materials from the substrate, as they're drilling down, that is where they determine where the screens are actually installed. And that's based on what material they actually bring up and where it makes sense based on what they find. So all of that actually does go into a well completion report that's put together after the well is drilled. So it is important to know where it's screened, but that process happens while it's being drilled. So that will be incorporated as usual. The locations are known, the APNs are known, and so Environmental Health is working with those applicants in their normal process to do the normal land use planning reviews, and then we will do that review that Cami discussed, and we will report out to the board in that manner after the fact. So as you recall, the verification process, these permits don't need to necessarily come to the shack or the board before they're approved, because the verification form, it is that verification, that acknowledgement form, which basically says, because of the fact that we have been, you know, we've included a number of things in the GSP, including, you know, well spacing, ordinance requirements, et cetera, that verification form is the written verification that the wells will not impact the goals of the GSP. So we can talk about that more online or offline too. If you have more questions, I'm available for a phone call anytime.
Thank you, Kelly. And Mr. Kuhn.
So my question is for Kelly, actually. Kelly, is there, apropos of underrepresented farmers, when you're reviewing a well application, do you take into account nearby small farmers? Because most of our small farmers are on, to the best of my knowledge, domestic wells. A lot of them are leaseholders, and they're farming one or two or three or 4 acres, and so they don't have, they're not in the category of ag wells. And so I would just respectfully ask that when you review these well applications, that you use a satellite overlay or something so you can actually see if they're small, underrepresented farmers in the area of the new well permit. That's a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly, do you have an answer to?
Sure. Yes. I was just waiting for your direction. So that's a good point, Richard. The process that we're doing as the Department of Water and Resource Conservation is one of the reviews out of a number of reviews. So there's actually three different departments in the county that do a track it review. And so that's Department of Development Services and Environmental Health and our Department of Water and Resource Conservation. So those folks look at the planning, the development side of it. Environmental Health has a whole series of standard operating procedures, basically, that they go through their review process. One of those is being the well spacing ordinance. And so they look at well spacing requirements. I believe one of the requirements of the applicant is actually to identify the parcels around them or the wells around them. And so I believe that is for agricultural wells. I don't know that the details of it, because it's not really in our wheelhouse what their processes are, but I can definitely put you in contact with Nick or Lane over in Environmental Health, and they can explain exactly, you know, what they do. But as far as what we've been tasked to do, it's very specific. It's a very specific task, and that's to look at proximity to representative monitoring sites in the GSAs. That's for groundwater levels and groundwater quality, and then also proximity to dedicated monitoring wells. And as if you recall, those are the ones that have the hourly monitoring loggers in them. They don't have pumps in them. They're really giving us that good hourly data. Those are spaced throughout the county as well. So we look at where the new well is going in proximity to those three types of wells, and based on the spacing requirements of Environmental Health, if it's too close to one of those, you know, we'll try to work with the applicant to see if they can site it on their property in a different spot that's conducive to being, you know, a little bit farther away from that. So we'll work with the applicant in that manner. I hope that answered your question, but I'm happy to follow up with you afterwards as well too, to get you in touch with the folks in environmental health.
You got a thumbs up, so, and a thank you. And with that, we will adjourn to the regular Vina GSA board meeting on July 13th, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. in these very chambers and on Zoom. So thank you very much. Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you.